My name is Ezra Shine. I am the coordinator of prevention, recovery, and alternative programs, six through 12. Okay. I want to add the K in there so bad because we need to help out everybody.
Right.
It's a good thing right now.
I mean, the process of dropping out starts relatively early in life, right? So
it actually does. It actually starts. Students can be identified as dropouts as early as third grade. Sometimes it can be first. In the state of Florida, we noticed that I belong to the National Dropout Prevention Network, and we noticed that they're identifying students at age six. And the problem is truancy. And truancy, it's a big deterrent that we notice that students have. And when they have that particular problem, it's not just them, it's that they learn from, they have to do what their parents tell them. One of the most important things that I like to talk about is as it relates to student culture and school culture. And when they meet together, they clash. And most of the time when they clash, it's a difficulty. Students have difficulties as well as teachers relating to some of the students. And if you relate to the students, you'll realize that they are having some type of issues or some type of problems. I bring that back to Birmingham City Schools. The programs that we have for our students, we provide our students here with programs that will allow them to receive their high school diploma, or they can receive credits that they're deficiency in by providing them some sort of support. And we have like 9 programs that we can offer to our students. And I tell you that they are really taking advantage of those programs because it let them know that not one education style fits all students. Here in the state of Alabama, we're not used to students taking a non-traditional approach. And a non-traditional approach has been around since the 1980s. Of course, like they always say about us here in Alabama, that we always last. And it seems like here everybody's looking like, is that legal? Yes, it's legal. It's been going on since 1980. We're just adopting it here in the state of Alabama, what, about 5 years ago? We offer one of our biggest programs here is the dropout recovery program. I've spoke with the superintendent and the interim superintendent and told him that my desire is to change the name or get a program a name. We don't have a name. Everybody knows that the program, you have a program called Dropout Recovery. And I was thinking more of a program called the SNAP program. And they utilize the SNAP program in the state of Florida. And I was like, if we utilize the SNAP program and call ours the SNAP program, we can go back and say, yes, SNAP. We're going to snap the students back into school. And that's our main job. And the young man, Mr. Hanks, I can actually say, has done an excellent job with the program. And once you see students like that who really struggle through their life educationally, they realize that it's time for me to make a change. And other school systems don't have that opportunity or can afford those students to have opportunities to attend certain programs. Here in the Birmingham City Schools, we have a program called the Dropout Recovery Program where we allow students to obtain their high school diploma. In order to qualify for the program, a student must meet 3 qualifications first,
How do you get into the program? What do you need to do?
The first 3 primary qualifications are you must be between ages of 17 and 21. You must have been out of school at least 1 calendar school year. If you haven't been out a year, we have to have evidence, and that's the state recommend that you have an exit form with artifacts indicating that they couldn't make it in a traditional program, so maybe a non-traditional program will benefit from that particular student.
Was that hard with him? Because he's clearly not a dumb kid. I mean, he's a smart kid, but he just wasn't motivated. So how do you make the case he couldn't have made it in a traditional setting? Is it just like you show the grades and say, here are the grades? Like, how do you do that?
That's a good question that you asked, and the reason why I'm happy you asked that question, because that's the number one problem that everybody thinks, or the number one concern. And that's what make a lot of students say, I don't think I qualify because I'm not dumb. That's not what our program is about. It is some type of extenuating circumstances stop you from achieving your high school diplomas. We have students who, unfortunately, have 2 children that they have to stay at home, and they can't stay at school a whole day so they can benefit from our program. We have some students whose parents are on chemo and they're the only child. They have to take them back and forth to therapy. And by utilizing the program, they can attend school half a day. We have students who were ill and they can't make it to school. It's a lot of extenuating circumstances that would allow them to enter into our program. So if they think that that's the only way you can get into the program, they're wrong. They need to come and ask us and learn that we can help them out if we realize that, hey, this is a great fit for you. Our job in the Birmingham City School is to find a fit that fits our students. And maybe that program didn't fit you. Prime example, when I spoke with James, I interview each student, by the way, when they first come in. It's real nice. I ask them three questions. And when I ask them those questions, it's like I want them to feel comfortable knowing that I am concerned. And I also give them my card with my work cell phone number. And then I tell them if you have any questions or you have any problems or if it's something that bothers you, contact me. And they do that. And if I'm not around, they can contact Mr. Washington, my assistant, and he does an excellent job with working with them as well. So we are out there making sure that students can feel comfortable about the program and know that we're there to support them.
You mentioned there were three criteria. The first one is, although there's the age, there's the you have to show that you've been out of school for a certain time. And what was the third one?
The third one is the most important part. The third one is that you must reside in the Birmingham City School Zone. Those are the first three. Now, if you meet those three, then you can go ahead with the process on withdrawing from your previous school, bring in your information that you need, and then when they come into the central office, we interview them, we talk to them, we tell them the rules, the guidelines of the program. And we don't usually like to use the word rules. When you talk about students that's in a non-traditional program, we have adopted throughout the nation, we have adopted guidelines.
And our guidelines. National? Some sort of national guidelines?
Well, we adopted that, but we call them expectations. Because when students hear rules, they feel like they're in a juvenile detention. They feel like, because a lot of our students come from places that they just really don't like that. So if LaJohnny does something that he shouldn't have done, we should say, you know our expectations. Did you read the guidelines? We expect you to do this. Instead of saying, you know my rule. Even though it's the same thing, the words sound better. So that's what we basically do to our students. We show things to them, and one of our most important things, and I know I'm talking a lot because I'm excited. I love educating students who really are in dire need of our assistance. My favorite thing is that our motto, and we use it a lot, and you'll hear it a lot, is making educational dreams a reality. That is what we talk about in our alternative learning centers. And by the way, the alternative learning centers are what we call the place where they're actually learning or where they're getting their instruction. Our instruction is called a blended instruction, where we do 80% on the internet and they do 20% direct instruction. We have 5 to 6 instructors per site. We have 3 ALCs, and those ALCs are phenomenal.
Alternative learning centers.
Mm-hmm, all of our alternative learning centers are just excellent. And what they do is they make sure that all students are learning at their pace. And when it's time, you don't stay on the computer 100% of the time. It's time you rotate and to go to one of your teachers to assist you with the levels, with the, as James loved to say, my favorite word is he loved to say, with the paperwork. Isn't that right? You say paperwork. He loves to say paperwork, but it's actually direct instruction. Mm-hmm. And whatever they do to make them understand, we're fine with that.
And how do you staff these learning centers? Where are they retired teachers, I'm guessing? Where do you find these folks?
They are retired teachers as well as they are teachers who have degrees in a particular area but not certified. So we utilize them as tutors. So we do have those, and we do have a lead teacher that's there with them as well. And we do a 5-point rotational schedule. We're open year-round, and the rotational schedule out every 9 weeks. Students are learning or their curriculum changes. Each student has an ILP. And that's an individualized learning plan. And that's pretty good because everybody's ILP is not going to be the same. It's individualized actually for that particular student based on the needs that they have. One of the important things about it is that the state of Alabama has gone with no seat time. You know, how long time ago it used to be you had to have 72 hours in a particular class in order to obtain a credit as well as a passing grade. So now it's based off of what you know. And so we have several programs, and one of the programs that I really, really like is the one that we utilize a program, Great Result. And Great Result has a program that we can configure it the way that it can fit, benefit all of our programs that we have. Some programs can be used as a repeat class, some can a repeated class, some can be, excuse me, some can be utilized as a recovery, and some of them can be utilized as accrual. And accrual means that they have never taken the class before, so you have to actually take the entire lessons. And and if you're doing it for a repeat, you you take a pretest or a course pretest, and it base it generates your lessons based off of what you know. Okay. And that's pretty simple, and that's pretty it.
Now, the program you just mentioned, that's not the same thing as the software that y'all are using for the electronic tests at the ALCs?
Yes, those are. That's the actual program that we utilize.
Okay. And where do you get it from? How much does it cost? Like, I'm curious about the technology, too.
Well, it varies. The cost varies because you have to really figure out actually what are you going to utilize it for. In the dropout recovery program, we utilize it unlimited. We have an unlimited use for it. So the price is different for that. And then we utilize it in a SPAN program in conjunction with Jefferson County Court as for those students that we're responsible for. And that's one of my areas of responsibilities here.
Kids who have been involved with the criminal justice system.
Yes. Yeah. And we also use it for a ninth grade repair. We use it for the BCS Recovery Virtual Learning Program. We utilize it for the Young Mothers Program. And we use it for 12th grade repair and recovery program as well.
And who makes it? Is it like Pearson, one of the big companies? You know, where does it come from?
It actually comes from Texas. And what it does is they generate the program based off of the state of Alabama. They generate the curriculum based off of the Birmingham City School as well. They send the information to the State Department for approval. The State Department approves and grant them the permission to utilize a particular program. The biggest part is the configuration piece, and we can configure it the way that we would like to. Mr. Washington, he's the primary Great Results specialist, so what I do is I have him to gather that component together, and he come up and tell me, okay, this is what you said you wanted, and this is what I have come up with for this particular program or another program.
Okay. Could you just tell me real quick, like, the name of the company that makes the software? I'm just curious. I can look into it later.
The name of the company is actually Great Results.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is the name of the company and the product.
Is
it based out of Texas?
Okay, thanks. And tell me your full name just so I have it.
Antonio Washington.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
What interested some national editors in this particular story and a personal profile of this young man here was the fact that Alabama as a state is second, I think, in the country in terms of increasing high school graduation rates. Has the state done anything to help you with this? How would you characterize, like, Tommy Bice, the superintendent? He's very big on this. Has that had anything to do with what y'all are doing here?
I can honestly say that I haven't really met the superintendent Bice. Right. I haven't met him. I've met some people at the State Department who works with me. One of my biggest cheerleaders for my program is Dr. Kay Warfield, and she's over student support. And she does a lot to motivate and to make sure that I get the word out, and we're trying to help other school systems in the state of Alabama. Also, I've been selected to attend the Mega Conference to tell people and show people how to develop a program such as ours and what other programs that we can utilize that will help students recover classes and to help them receive credits that they're deficiency in.
So how long have these programs been going for a while then? How long have they been going on, roughly?
Actually, the honest truth is some of the programs are programs that I made up a couple of years before I became into this position that I am now. Dr. Barber at that time was our academic officer, and she asked me to become the district ACT coordinator while I was assistant principal. So I came up with those particular programs, a lot of Saturday school programs, and I worked along with a lot of high school assistant principals who had their particular schools.
So this has been a couple of years at least?
Yes, it has. So we started developing a nice little program, and then, you know, when things got a little different, and then when I received a promotion here at Central Office, the programs I was able to come up with even more programs. And when I came up with those programs, it really helped.
Were you doing this during the state takeover? You kind of like under the radar? Like how's that work out?
Well, actually, during that time, too, it was awesome. I really like it because at that time, you know, that wasn't really the focus on the state takeover. Academically, we were doing well. I think it was had something to do with financial issues. It wasn't anything. So we were still, even though the school system was going
You could do what you wanted to do. Like, were they leaving you alone? That's really what I'm asking.
Yes, they basically were. They were leaving us alone because they knew what we were doing. And our biggest thing, teaching and learning, and that's all we focus on. Even though we were going through some rough time in the Birmingham City schools, we were still focused on teaching and learning, and I think that was the most important thing of it all. I can say another thing that I like about the programs that we had established is that when I was able to take the position that I am now, I was able to come up with more programs. I think one of our biggest things that we did to help with the graduation rate, my department, is we had a team. I had a team of people. We call ourselves the cohort team. What we did on the first day of school, I have team members from my department. We went to the different high schools, and we looked at the ninth graders, at the 12th graders. That were 12th graders for the 14-15 school year. We looked at their cohort 4 years ago when they were in the ninth grade. So what we did a compatibility form where we looked to see where they were at that particular time. Those students who we couldn't find, my department and I, we called those students. We invited them to Dropout Recovery. They came to the program because a lot of them didn't know anything about it. So we recruited them and we saved those students. And all of them came through. They passed the requirements that they needed to do that helped with the graduation rate.
So one more question. You know, it seems like almost every state has boosted their graduation rate. What do you say to people who say, well, yeah, but that doesn't mean the kids can actually do anything? It's very easy to juke those numbers and sort of lower standards. How do you address that? Is that going on here? Are the online classes, are they as rigorous as what he would get in a standard setting?
Yes, the classes are rigorous, and it amazes me to see educators as well as a person in general try to downplay a student's educational progress. And in Birmingham City Schools, our students do well, and the problem is that if our students were not doing well, I receive more calls from the schools over the mountain asking me, can they pay for their students to attend our program, our Dropout Recovery program, because they hurt so much and it's a lot going on. Students in our school system and that graduate from our program have joined the military. They're students at some of our local junior colleges as well as some of our universities. We have a couple of guys who play football for the University of Arkansas, Jacksonville State University. We have a couple of students who are marching in the band at Alabama State, at Alabama A&M, and they're still in school. We also partner with Brown Mackey, Jeff State, and Lawson, and they're our biggest cheerleaders as well. Our students are doing well because our students want to succeed, and they want to show people that we can do. Programs being watered down. No, it isn't. It's just that they have to remember that a traditional program is not a fit for everybody. And once we get into reality that there's a fit that fit all, they will realize that our students and their students would do well. It's just that we basically want school to be like it was when I was in school in the 80s, but we're evolving. So we need everybody to get on the track and on the train with us, and we need to take that long journey and learn the virtual learning as it is today.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you think our listeners should know?
I just want them to support our programs here in Birmingham City School. And before you start judging programs, to come and look. We welcome everybody.
Can people come visit the ALCs?
We have an open house twice a year that they can come visit the ALC. I do a big Christmas thing every year around Christmas time. That sounds better than saying a big Christmas thing. It's just around Christmas time. I do a big open house where we welcome everybody and we invite people to come. I tell you, once they come, even people in the school system, when they visit, they go like, I did not know all this was going on. So we welcome everybody to come visit our programs. And again, the Dropout Recovery Program, the Department of Prevention, Recovery, and Alternative Programs, we are all about making educational dreams a reality.
One thing I forgot to ask, how that department you just mentioned that you run, how many people are there? How many staff?
To combine everything together, I have 29 staff members.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And they're at different sites. They're helping you with office work. They're helping you filter out kids, all the above?
All the above, but five of them are in my office, in central office. We have five to six at each one of the alternative learning centers. I have a transitional counselor at Carver High School. We have branched out that we have I have a tutor that's working with the dropout recovery program at Carver High School with the Latino students. So I'm telling you, we are doing an excellent job in our program, and we're reaching out to everyone. The biggest problem that I'm having now and the support that I need, the biggest support I need right now, and I'm sure that it's going to come, they tell me that I have 6 through 12. Now the elementary schools need me badly because we have a lot of overage students in elementary school. Right. So we're working on that piece, and I'm sure they're going to get me some help. So
you just need more people to do that.
Yes, and I promise you that Birmingham City Schools, we're going to just blow the map up when it comes to education. And I'm a proud product of the Birmingham City Schools.
Where'd you go to school?
The Arthur Harold Parker High School.
Okay. How did you end up in I meant to ask you this before. How did you end up in this line of work? What were you doing before? You were an assistant principal, I guess.
It's a funny story about the whole situation. I ended up leaving Birmingham, going to school in Louisiana, and I majored in mathematics and personnel management. And I came back and finished at the University of Montevallo in mathematics. What's the funny thing about it is that education was not my desire. I stumbled on education. My aunt invited me to work in Bessemer, and I started working there. And when I found out in the school system,
what were you doing?
And I was a teacher. I was a teacher. And then, you know, I ended up going back and receiving my certification in mathematics education. And when my alma mater called me and asked me to come back and teach mathematics, I dashed quickly to Parker High School. I taught math there. And I immediately became assistant principal at Parker High School. And then I became assistant principal at Huffman. And then I ended up here. And a story that I shared with the assistant principals on yesterday, I know I was destined for this particular position.
It's a good fit.
Not only is it a good fit, but when I was appointed assistant principal at Parker High School in 2003, they asked me to, I was the only assistant principal in the whole Birmingham City School that was hired as an at-risk assistant principal. And I didn't want that title. And I joined the National Dropout Prevention Network, which made me join that particular part. I also, while doing that, they had me to do everything that I'm doing now. I had no idea that 10 years later, that I was going to end up in a position that I am now because of my training and because of my experience and my knowledge as it relates to students. At risk of dropping out of school, it was a perfect fit for me, and I'm loving it.